We are ready to hear arguments in United States versus Alfred. We're ready to hear from the appellant.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it
Good
please
morning.
The court. My name is Kathleen Shen, and I represent the appellant, Mr. Melvin Alfred. The challenged memes were not intrinsic to the offense, and the district court's contrary ruling was an abuse of discretion. Evidence is intrinsic if it is inextricably intertwined with or part and parcel of the charged offense, if it's part of a single criminal episode, or if it's a necessary preliminary without which the offense can't be understood. And that's not true of the memes. The years-old posts were not inextricably intertwined with or part and parcel of the 2018 chats with G-Baby, and the district court abused its discretion by concluding that they were. The district court's conclusion was based on two subsidiary findings. First, that any woman-type person who Mr. Alfred communicated with could readily access the memes and would be likely to do so. And second, that he was using them to convey his brand or to say what he was about in 2018.
Well, on your access point, and maybe even more preliminarily to that, could you tell us which of the memes you're really disputing here? That was a little unclear to me.
Sure, Your Honor, and I understand the confusion. So the objection was to the introduction of any historical meme evidence. So the argument pertains to all of the memes, and the best place in the rebuttal volume, and that attachment contains several memes. I don't believe all of those were introduced at trial. I think a sort of more succinct summary is at record volume, I wrote this down, but I think it's record volume 1, 269, and that's the motion to exclude that was filed right before trial. I think that omits a few of the memes, but we did renew the objection as those memes were.
Exhibits 6 and 7 are challenged, probably. Is that right? That's how I was looking at it. But Exhibit 46 is not challenged?
So we did make the same argument that none of these memes were intrinsic, and that was made at the outset before the government identified specifically which memes were going to be introduced at trial. And so the ruling we're challenging would affect the admissibility of all of the meme evidence.
But if they weren't admitted, who cares?
Right. So all of the memes that were admitted at trial are the subject of this appeal
and
were objected. Yes.
Thank you.
Well, there were some memes that I didn't think you were objecting to that had pictures of Mr. Alfred with like money. I thought you were just objecting to the memes that I have them behind Government Trial Exhibit 6.
Right.
There's a bunch of memes that seem to be related more to prostitution directly than the ones that were just him with material goods. And it didn't seem to me that there was an objection to all of the memes. Am I confused?
I understand your confusion. I think the clearest place to see that the objection pertains to all of the historical social media posts is if you look at record volume 1, 152. So first they file this notice that they're going to use historical social media posts as 404B. We object to the 404B notice. They withdraw the 404B notice and say it's all intrinsic. And so then, you know, what I'm talking about is the pleading we file. It's at volume 1, record 152. And they say, you know, there we're objecting to any historical social media being used as intrinsic to the offense. Now, a lot of our arguments are specific to what we're calling the memes. So those are not the pictures of Mr. Alfred specifically, but, you know, screenshots from videos or from movies with text superimposed on top of it. And so that really is, some of the arguments are specific to those posts.
Well, let me ask you this, because in Exhibit 6 and 7, are you saying that your objection was to all of the memes that came in? So you did not repeat as to a specific exhibit the basis for that objection?
Your Honor, so before any of the specific exhibits were identified, we took the position that none of this meme evidence was intrinsic. And then in one of the pleadings I just discussed, the one at 269, there was a motion to exclude specifically regarding exhibits 6 and 7. And then at trial, additional memes did end up coming in that weren't part of exhibit 6 and 8. And at that point, we did renew our objection specifically stating, you know, we object for all the same reasons we have objected to the other meme evidence. So we believe we've preserved the arguments with respect to all of the historical memes. And that this appeal, because we're challenging the district court's pretrial ruling that they're all intrinsic, that it would cover all of those as well. And so just to get back to ruling.
But it only makes sense for you to be challenging those memes that were admitted at trial.
Yes, Your Honor.
Why would we care about the others? We wouldn't, would we?
No. We're talking about the memes that were admitted.
So we're talking about Exhibit 6 and 7 and possibly Exhibit 46.
Yes.
Okay, that's it. All right, thanks.
And so the district court's reasoning first was that all of these memes were easily accessible to anybody who talked to Mr. Alford untagged. But the only evidence that was before the district court when it made that ruling was that the memes were accessible to G-Baby or Agent Tangerman. So there wasn't any evidence that they were accessible to anybody else that used the website or chatted with Mr. Alford, let alone that they would be likely to look at them. And well, that's important.
Let me interrupt. As I understand it, there on the homepage, you could click on these pictures and you could click through, you could click and immediately see a gallery of all of the available memes that were there. And then you could click and pull up any of them that you wanted. Is that correct?
It's correct that Agent Tangerman or G-Baby could do that. There wasn't any evidence about whether any other users would have been able to do
but there wasn't any evidence that he limited other users either, was there?
No, but as the proponent of the government of the evidence, it was the government's burden to show that this that its theory of admissibility was at least supported by the evidence. And the second finding
that this would you have to follow on what you just said, would the government have to show that more than G-Baby could access this?
I mean, the district court's theory of admissibility depended on this being accessible to other people. That he, you know, his logic was any person who talked to Mr. Alfred would be able to see these memes. And then that brings me to the second part of its finding, which is that Mr. Alfred was using these 3-year-old memes to communicate what his brand was in 2018. So effectively, every time he chatted with someone, you know, these memes, because they were accessible, were part of that chat, so they were brand communications in 2018.
And well, let me ask you this. Is it not true that all they had to do was just click and the memes came up?
It's true that Agent Tangerman was able to access the memes that way. Now, as I said, there isn't any evidence about how other users would have been able to see Mr. Alfred's memes. And the district court found that anybody who chatted with him would have been able to see them, and that's one of the reasons he concluded that these were really part of his brand, that he was using these old posts that he had posted 3 years earlier but just failed to delete, that they were effectively contemporaneous communications of, quote, what he was about at the time he talked to G-Baby in 2018. And that's also an erroneous finding. Now, the government argues that Mr. Alfred's tag page was like a storefront, or it was like a brand page, and the district court analogizes it to a storefront. But the government didn't actually present any evidence about that this is how Mr. Alfred was using tagged. The only anything sort of resembling evidence that was at the hearing was the prosecutor's own personal anecdote that she personally does do spring cleaning of her social media presence in order to cultivate the message she's sending to her, you know, users, but that's not evidence, and that's not evidence of how Mr. Alfred was using tagged in September 2018. And the record actually weighs against the conclusion that these 3-year-old posts were being used to cultivate his brand in 2018. you know, as we've discussed, they weren't on the main page. You had to click through to a photo subpage. And these are just a small portion of the 107 photos that are available in his account. And that's just not how a business builds its brand. You don't have to click on the photo subpage of Arby's Facebook page to find out that they're a sandwich shop. You don't have to look at, you know, 8 or 10 photos out of 107 photos posted to a professional athlete's website to figure out what sport he plays. And, you know, this lack of evidence is really concerning because social media is a complex and evolving phenomenon. You know, platforms are used differently, different people use the same platform differently, and the way that is that a platform is used changes rapidly. And Tagged in particular is a pretty obscure platform. And the district court here said he was ignorant of how social media works. And so really this is not an area where we can, you know, allow the district court to make assumptions or to rely on experience or take notice. It really is something where you need specific evidence of what's going on. I mean, well, I just wanted to-
doesn't the court have specific evidence if the court says, okay, you see his, what you would call his profile page, but you also see at the bottom of that page from our record, all of these things that you can click on. Now, if you can access them that way, what's wrong with the district court's order or ruling?
I mean, the district court's finding that Mr. Alford is actually using these in 2018, that he intends for people to click through and look at them, depends on assumptions about
if they're still accessible, which they are, they're there. Right.
Well, the district court's ruling is actually it's likely that anyone who talks to him is going to look at them. And that's there's no evidence of that. That's an assumption that he's making based on what he admits is an ignorance of how social media works generally. And there's no evidence about how people are actually using Tagged.
Let me ask you this. Even if you're right and he had to grant access to someone before they could see this information, if he interacts with someone and then decides this is a good time to grant them access, couldn't the court still consider whether the stuff to which they are granted access is intrinsic to his intent to recruit for prostitution?
Even if you don't
make it available to everyone, but you screen a little bit and see who might be on the hook, it's still intrinsic.
No, I don't believe that these historical posts are intrinsic, even if they are accessible, because it still depends on the district court's finding that, in fact, Mr. Alford expected people to look at these old posts, that he expected them to click on his photos and look at these, find these, and then draw the conclusion that he's a pimp, or that this is his brand in the government's speak. And that's simply not supported by the evidence. And I just briefly want to touch on the 403 mm-hmm. issue. I mean, even if they are intrinsic and there's some probative value, that probative value is low, these are old posts. They were composed by someone else and they're jokes. And whatever limited probative value they have is, in this case, far outweighed by the risk of unfair prejudice. I mean, first of all, there is a high risk that they're going to be used for the propensity purpose, that he's the kind of person who likes to demean women, that he thinks pimping is cool, that they're vulgar, they're offensive, and they're misogynistic. And they also draw on gangster rap culture. On all of these things are things that could negatively impact the jury's attitude and cause it to reach a verdict independent of their probative value. And then just finally, you know, the evidence wasn't harmless. This isn't a sufficiency test. The government has to prove that you can be confident the jury would reach the same conclusion. And first, this evidence was central to the case. It's the first thing they showed the jury. And they talked about it.
The government presented a lot of direct evidence of the enticement of this woman and the discussions that were held and the education of her to become a prostitute and to gain money to come to Houston. I mean, straight direct evidence, undisputed.
That evidence would be sufficient to reach the verdict, but you should also consider that Mr. Alford's defense, that there was substantial evidence supporting his defense, that this was all a fantasy, that King Maybach was a persona, that in real life he wasn't a pimp with a Maybach deciding between Rolls Royces and Lambos, that he didn't have a car, he had to borrow his mom's car, he had to pawn his PlayStation to get $100 and bum a ride to the bus station, and also that his favorite rapper was Pimp C, who's best known for his verse on Big Pimping, that he is someone who comes from a world where pimping imagery is common but not meant literally, and With all that in mind, this court should harbor some doubts as to whether the jury would reach the same verdict without the unfair prejudice associated with these memes, and conclude that because the district court abused its discretion admitting this evidence, the evidence was not harmless and the conviction should be vacated. Thank you.
Thank you. We're ready to hear from the government.
May it please the court. Elizabeth Ford Milani for the government. The district court properly evaluated the possible inferences arising from the memes and the plausibility of the connection between the memes and the government's theory. I'd like to go right to the district court's findings in this case at that pretrial hearing. The district court did not necessarily find that someone necessarily would look at the memes. The district court talked about how they were available on his landing page. And as all the evidence at trial showed, tagged is how Mr. Alford conducted the crimes in this case. That is the digital space that he attempted to recruit Nikki or G-Baby. And I think the fact that Agent Tangeman was able to view those memes gives rise to the reasonable inference that anybody else with whom Mr. Alford communicated could also view those memes. So in this way, I also want to point out that the defendant is incorrect that the memes were in any way buried in the tagged profile. As was explained at the pretrial hearing, and as Agent Tangeman, I believe, explained at trial, these were one click away from the defendant's main tagged profile picture.
Well, when you click, you get a gallery, right? And there were a lot of pictures and things in that gallery. And these are the memes are a very small subset of that gallery. Is that correct?
So I don't know that I would even agree with that. If you count up Exhibit 6, Exhibit 7, and Exhibit 46, that's something like 20 memes of 107 photos. So I don't think that is a minuscule amount in comparison to all of the defendant's photos. But I think it's important to think of, 20 memes on this one particular topic shows that this is part of his brand, that he is associating himself with the messages of those memes. And I think that that was what the jury could consider, and the court properly let the jury draw from those conclusions what they would in this case. I also want to talk about the temporal gap here. I don't dispute that the memes were posted 3 years before the chats with Nikki or G-Baby in this case. But the fact that those memes were still available 3 years later, one click away from the main profile picture, shows at least an inference of intentionality. And I think that that can certainly be considered in connection with all of the evidence. Remember, the memes were not the only indicia of pimping and prostitution on Mr. Alford's tagged page. His name, his profile name, was King Maybach. As Agent Tangeman explained at trial, king or crowns often have connection to the pimping and prostitution culture. As well, his tagged line, which was on his main profile page, said, "I like the way it feels, but it's better when it pays the bills." And those weren't the only, notwithstanding the memes, there were also photos of defendant ironing money, defendant with expensive items. So I think all this together can be understood as the brand, the sales pitch that Mr. Alford is using when communicating with others online.
What about the unfair prejudice part of this? I mean, truthfully, the government really didn't need these memes. You had plenty of evidence. I always see that in these cases where,
You're not alone, Judge McHugh.
Where, I mean, you've got an avalanche of evidence and then you put in something for the cherry on the top that creates the issue on appeal. How much probative value do you really get out of these memes in comparison to the risk of unfair prejudice? They don't. I mean, I find the memes offensive. I can see that a jury might find them offensive.
I think a couple of reasons. One is that, the government has the highest burden of proof there is. And so this sort of evidence, which will help the government prove its case, I don't think that in this scenario that should have been excluded on that point. But I understand your point, Your Honor. I think that these memes were particularly probative of the business enterprise aspect of count two. Now, the government had to prove that the defendant was engaged in sort of an ongoing activity, not just a sporadic, casual, isolated incident. And I think that cultivating this brand really refuted any sort of contention that this was not a business enterprise under count two. And so I think that that's very important here, and that was, it had extreme probative value in that way. Not only that, but the defendant's theory at trial was that this was all puffery. This was a joke. He was pretending to be a pimp because he thought, who knows what he thought, but this was pretend. I think cultivating a brand 3 years before he reached out to Nikki kind of shows the unreasonableness of that theory. It's a long con, if you will. So I think it was also very probative in that way to refute the defendant's theory. As for prejudice, again, I don't disagree that the memes were prejudicial, but they weren't unfairly prejudicial because they did not have that undue tendency for the jury to decide the case on an improper basis. Instead, the brand, the cultivated aspect of the defendant's digital profile, which was the same digital space, again, that he used to reach out to Nikki and others, showed that this was all a concentrated effort, part of that business enterprise here. And I think that the district court, you know, at the pretrial hearing, the district court was concerned about the possibility that these memes would mislead the jury in thinking that the defendant was violent, for instance. And so the district court properly tailored the memes that would be admitted at trial to make sure that those risks weren't present. And I think that also shows the district court, you know, carefully exercised its discretion in that way.
Recall seeing that in your brief, it's a good argument, but I don't think I ever saw it, that this evidence was needed to establish a business enterprise, and you refer to count two. I'm looking at the charges. And we're talking about persuading and inducing an individual to travel interstate. That's not a business. That's just
for purposes of business enterprise under 18 U.S.C. 1952.
Right, to engage in prostitution. So you see that as requiring more than the movement of one person?
So the facilitating prostitution count does require that business enterprise as an element. And I believe that I talked about that. Let me pull it up for you, Your Honor.
Perhaps you did.
Yeah, it's a facility in interstate commerce with the intent to facilitate promotion, management, establishment, or carrying out of an unlawful activity.
Right.
Attempt to promote, manage, establish, or carry out. Right.
And then on page 17 of the answer brief, Your Honor, unlawful activity in this context is a business enterprise. And then previous cases from this court, Kendall and Burna have described that business enterprise requires proof of continuing course of conduct, not just sporadic or casual involvement. Again, that's page 17 of the answer brief.
Thank you.
Certainly, Your Honor.
Now, counsel.
Yes, Your Honor.
I also note that you're arguing that if the memes were wrongfully admitted, that error would be harmless. Are you going to address harmlessness in this argument?
Yes, Your Honor. So I agree that this is not a sufficiency test. The harmlessness under Rule 52 isn't a sufficiency test. But that doesn't mean that the weight and the strength and the power of the government's evidence doesn't play into the analysis. Several cases, including cases that have been cited by opposing counsel in this case, talked about how any error was harmless. I'd point this court to the Facnicone case, which was in the 11th Circuit. That's a somewhat similar case in that social media posts that really had not a lot to do with a bank robbery were admitted at that trial. But the court said that was error, but harmless given just, you know, the overwhelming evidence in this case. And I think the same could be true here. You know, the chats were the length, the depth, the detail, the knowledge of Mr. Alfred's association with the pimping and prostitution culture, I think that any error was still harmless, notwithstanding the introduction of these memes. Other than count two, I do want to caution against, I don't mean to say that the memes were only probative on the second count. They were also probative on count one for reasons that we've already talked about a bit. And that was the under 2242, knowingly persuades, induces, entices, or coerces anyone. I think the fact that the defendant associated outwardly with this brand, that this brand was available to Agent Tangeman when he was communicating with him, undermines or underscores Mr. Alfred's intent when he was talking with Nikki. Did he intend for her to actually travel in interstate commerce and act as a prostitute? Or was this instead all puffery? Again, the fact that he had cultivating this brand, this long con of 3 years, I think undermined the argument that this was all puffery, and that pertained to count one as well. If there are any further questions that I can answer for the court under the 403 analysis, I'm happy to do so. But otherwise, I'd encourage the court to affirm.
Thank you. And I think the appellant used her time, correct? Kathleen, I think you used your time. You're on mute. You're on mute.
If I have 5 seconds. I have a point I can make in 5 seconds.
Okay, do it.
So with respect to the business enterprise, it has to be continuous. And because these memes are from 2015, they can only be considered if they're 2018 activity.
Thank you. Thank you both for your arguments this morning. This case is submitted.